Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to talk about some of the passages the church gives us at Mass this week, leading us through very important themes within Jesus' preaching. This week is the week you might call where we lay hold of the range at which Jesus speaks to us, both touching on his kindness, what Paul would call the kindness and severity of God. There's a lot this week in the Gospels of Jesus, first of all, going after the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his time, and the famous woes in which Jesus, curses that Jesus was putting on them, that basically that's talking to them, trying to shake them out of their hypocrisy, challenging them, hoping to lead them to repentance and change. But Jesus spoke in a way that was very strong and very difficult to even hear it. We don't often hear that spoken about or even preached about at Mass. It's rare that the way in which Jesus speaks, the stark and strong and convincing way and manner in which he speaks to religious leaders in particular, how it communicates to us a dimension of Jesus' personality, a dimension of his view, his perspective on what matters most, and his righteous anger and his zeal that rises in him that are healthy things. You know, anger is not a bad thing if it's rightly ordered. Scripture says, be angry, but don't sin. When Jesus' anger rises up, he's not out of control, but he's summoning. There's an energy inside him. It's also an expression of zeal for the holiness of God and for the salvation of people and even for the salvation of those who he's seriously chastising. So it's an important way to be able to understand him. And I just pray that the teaching of the church in this time of discipline and that it's come upon the church and our sins are exposed, our compromise and the rest of it, Jesus wants to produce change during this time of severe mercy that's on the church. And part of what ought to happen in that transformation, I believe, in the purification, is for us to sound more like Jesus, not only to live more like him, but also to talk more like him, to preach what he preaches in the way that he preaches it, and not to edit the mail that he's given us to deliver, but to communicate the whole counsel of God's word and let people hear and experience the person of Jesus in his totality with the kind of passion and clarity and prophetic power that was in him. It's so important. And today, we celebrate the feast of the memorial of the passion of St. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet of all time until Jesus came among us. The story that the gospel, that we're given from the gospel, is the beheading of John. We've heard it many different times, and here's how it begins in chapter 6 of Mark's gospel. It says, Herod, who was a king, Jewish king, was the one who had John the Baptist arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John said to Herod the king, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He violated the commandments. He wasn't supposed to marry his brother's wife. And John wasn't afraid to tell the king where he stood before God. He was a prophet. He warned the king. He chastised the king. He was fearless. One of the things that was so great about John the Baptist, and of course, because of that, Herodias, the woman that he married, harbored a grudge, Scripture says, against him and wanted to kill him. And the story is Herod ended up beheading John the Baptist, or having him beheaded, at the request of Herodias' daughter, who basically, in a moment at a party, danced for Herod. And he was, you know, he was a fleshly man, probably drunk, and he wanted her to dance, and she was beautiful, and she danced before him. He was kind of seduced by the whole thing, and his lust and things were rising within him, and he says, I'll give you everything up to the half of my kingdom. And her mother said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And so she did. And Herod, having made this proclamation in front of all his guests, couldn't back away from it, though he was frightened by it. John the Baptist scared him. But he said, go ahead. And they beheaded John the Baptist, and it was the head of John was brought back to Herod. It's a horrific scene. But what an important teaching for us today. You know, this same story is in the other Gospels as well. And in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus talks about the Beatitudes. He kind of begins his teaching for his disciples of how they're called to live and to walk in his footsteps. And the last Beatitude reads like this. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted on account of the Son of Man. So in Matthew, it's for righteousness' sake, and in Luke, it's on account of the Son of Man. Blessed are those who are persecuted for standing for righteousness, for standing for holiness, for having enough love and courage to communicate. In this case, John the Baptist, Jewish, speaking to the Jewish king Herod, you know what you're doing is wrong. You're violating the commandments. You're taking on your brother's wife. Can't do that. Now, imagine speaking to somebody with that much power. What it took, the purity of heart, the love, the courage, the holy fear of God, the zeal for righteousness that was in John the Baptist. This is why Jesus said, you know, up until that point, there was not a man that was greater than John the Baptist. Jesus' teaching, Jesus' life, echoed that very experience of John the Baptist. Jesus is the righteous one, and we know he was crucified for righteousness. Because he spoke the truth, and he called the people of God to live the truth. And he was rejected. He was killed by the Romans, rejected by the Jewish leaders. And Jesus tells every one of his followers that the world's going to hate you because it hated me first. John was beheaded and killed and silenced because a worldly woman and a worldly man who were trapped in lust and sin were called out by a holy man. And in their rage, they killed him to silence him. John the Baptist was an amazing, amazing man. And Jesus essentially says, walk in his footsteps. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before them. That's Matthew 5 from the Beatitudes. From the Sermon on the Plain, Luke chapter 6. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Instead, Jesus said, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. So their fathers did to the prophets. John chapter 6, verse 33. I have said to you so that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they hated me, they will hate you, Jesus said. They will do all this to you on my account, because they do not know him who sent me, because they do not know God the Father. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now They have seen and hated both me and my Father. And everyone, Jesus is saying, who identifies with Jesus and identifies with the Father in an uncompromising way, like John was not willing to compromise. He was not willing to, to suck up to the king. He was not willing to do what it took to be on the inner circle and to be in the favor of the king. Well, yeah, he wanted to live in the favor of the king, but it was King Jesus he wanted to live in the favor of, and he wanted to stand for righteousness and holiness, and he knew it was love, and it was obedience to God. And he was willing to die for it. The apostles taught the same thing. I've talked many times in the program of the things Paul described, of how many times he was whipped and beaten and imprisoned and left hungry and stoned and to the point nearly dead. They expected it. They didn't run away from it. They understood that the teaching of Jesus was going to divide, and it was going to cost us to walk in it. St. Peter said, in chapter 4 of his first letter, he said, "Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. The saints that we read about, you know, in the history of the church, internalized all this, lived it, experienced their own persecution in different ways, sometimes at the hands of the church and religious leaders in the church. St. Francis has this beautiful perspective that he gave to his brothers in chapter 22 of the Rule for the Franciscans, from the rule that he wrote in 1221. He said, "Our friends are all those who unjustly inflict on us tribulations and anguish, shame and injuries, sorrows and torments, martyrdom and death. We must have great love for them, since from what they inflict on us, we have life eternal." It's so important for us today when we remember St. John the Baptist, the heroic life, how he fulfilled his prophetic commission in the Lord, and the price he was willing to pay for the truth and for love. Friends, we are living at a time when the culture is pressuring us to keep our mouths shut, when the culture is pressuring us to conform to the world, and not only to quietly conform, but more and more pressures emerging, requiring the people of God, and this is happening even in some parts within the church, requiring the people of God to affirm what's offensive to God. That's a problem. And this, the Catechism tells us, we're living in the time of the Spirit and of witness, a time which requires great courage. And it's a time of testing for us, a testing for which we will all give an account. So the church gives us these readings this week to sober us up, to give us courage, to put some healthy fear of God in us that we need to stand so we can be faithful witnesses, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, John the Baptist, and the saints, and making the most of our lives for the sake of love and for the sake of the glory of God. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.